What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 210 of the Massive Breakdown Podcast. We're coming to you on a Thursday evening. Got a fantastic episode for you this week, as we did just have the TWAB release. And man, it was a meaty TWAB. A lot about rewards, specifically what guns we're going to be able to chase, how we're going to acquire some new armor, what activities. They did put the roadmap for season of the Splicer, as we now know the name of it is. So we're going to be talking about pretty much everything that's been revealed so far. I think that the TWAB is going to take up the meat and potatoes of this week's episode, so I don't know if we're going to have time for listener questions this week, but, you know, we'll see what we can do. We'll see how much we have to talk about. I suppose we should go ahead and get the introductions out of the way. As always, I'm your host, Mercules, joined tonight by Kit Kutcha. And how are you doing this evening, Kit?
Well, Mercules, I am doing fairly well. It has been a long, busy week for me, so as always, I am very happy to be able to sit back, relax, and talk about video games, and especially to talk about Destiny. So I'm pumped that we have new stuff. New stuff always gets me more excited to play more Destiny, so yeah, I'm ready for it, man. How about you?
Yeah, it's been a good week. It's been a good week. Obviously, we had some new Star Wars content drop, which I know that we're all thirsty for, and we are planning to do a Beneath Twin Suns episode after we finish up this episode. We're going to be talking about Season 2 of Clone Wars. I know you've already watched The Bad Batch. I have just started watching it.
Oh, man.
But we're not going to talk about that. We're going to wait until the entire season's done before we do
it. We're not going to talk about how much you should absolutely watch The Bad Batch.
I know.
At all.
I've heard very good things about it. Very good things about it. And Dave Filoni's in charge, so that's already got my hype meter like way up through the roof. In terms of Destiny, I went through this week, and I actually haven't played much PvP. I played a shit ton of Gambit because the last two challenges I had to do for the entire season were two Gambit challenges. It was the kill 40 Primeval Envoys and eliminate a certain number of Guardians. So I had to play about 20 games of Gambit in a row. And then I had to do Presage two more times so I could get the final Smuggler's Hideaway, which I did, so I've now done every challenge for the Presage mission, which I got literally nothing for, which was a bummer. I thought that there was going to be like an emblem or something for doing all of them, but there was literally nothing. So just, I guess the completionist in me is happy, but actually haven't played a ton of PvP. Played a little bit with Symmetry earlier in the week, and that was nice and fun. I did have a game where I got 31 kills just with Symmetry.
Oh my gosh.
Which was pretty impressive. So I've been having fun with that weapon again, back to normal. And of course, I was trolling the sweats on Twitter with a nice little a nice little starter pack meme that I was pretty proud of. So it's been a busy week for me.
You trolling sweats makes me tired.
Like, yeah, it's actually an exhausting practice.
Yeah. I think maybe no more poking bears for a little while.
No, just I'm gonna take a break
so that I can rest.
Plus, how could I top that? I gotta say, like, I posted it in meme stream like right before or right when I posted it back when it, you know, was a minute old, and I was like, I think this might be my masterpiece. Like, I was real proud of how accurate I felt like that thing was, and sure enough, it really upset a lot of people. So,
yeah, that's our Mercules, edgelord of the anime picture Twitter crowd.
I'm their arch nemesis, right? But oh boy. Anyways, I suppose we should probably get the housekeeping out of the way before we do anything else. I think we are excited to be able to welcome in finally after a month of building hype a new sponsor for the show. Is that correct?
Yes, this is why normally we don't say anything until it's official, but you know, sometimes things happen. People don't talk to each other in advance, and here we are saying a massive thank you to A Solitary Bird, our newest sponsor on Massive Breakdowns. Thank you so much for your pledge and support. We really appreciate it. Thank you always as well to ZenSoCal and the Shazzle. These three now making up the trifecta of Guardians, who are just going above and beyond to support Destiny Massive Breakdowns. We really appreciate their incredible generosity, and you should too. Also, thank you this week to new patrons joining us We've got Outlaw Torn. Thank you so much for your pledge and your support. We appreciate it. And we have Krillian joining us as well. So thank you so much to Krillian. Okay, I think that about wraps up the thank yous. I can also share a few of our patrons have reached a threshold where some loot has been sent out. So if you've been pledging for 3 consecutive months at a level where you might be expecting some sweet, sweet merch, maybe watch the mail the next week or two, and be sure to let us know. Tweet at us, drop in the Discord. Let us know when your stuff gets to you. Let us know how you like it. It's obviously, we know you guys don't pledge for the loot as much as we get excited about it. But we do want it to be nice. So let us know what you think. Okay, that is all I've got for the Patrons Corner this week.
It's pretty sad. I feel like I love our own loot so much, and I wear and use a ton of our own loot. Like the Massive Breakdown mask that we have is still my most used mask, like when I go out in public now. So,
I learned that, like, apparently silk is a really good fabric for masks. And the front, it's a two-layer mask, which A, is nice, right? Two layers is better than one, and then the front is silk. So apparently it's actually, like, just randomly happens to be a pretty okay mask.
So it's not just fashionable, it's also effective.
Yeah,
which is nice.
Putting your mouth where your ears are, or something like that. I tried to come up with a clever saying, it never quite came together for me.
Oh, well, I appreciate the effort. So, all right, well, thank you to all the patrons as usual. Also, a thank you to the people who leave us podcast reviews. We did get another review this week. It is from Gouch155. He says, a must listen, 5 stars. Whether you're a PvE player, a PvP player, or anywhere in between, the info they share with you has immense value. As someone who plays all the content from high to low, having Merc, and he calls you Kid, but I think he meant Kit, and it just auto-corrected. Break each weapon down to its very core has been nothing short of miraculous when trying to squeeze everything out of the lemon that is your Destiny gunplay experience. Absolutely give the show a listen if you have any desire to get everything you can from your favorite loadouts. So thank you very much, Gouch. I appreciate that review. We both appreciate that review.
We do.
It's always fantastic to hear that our ranting and rambling on these podcasts actually helps people in terms of their gameplay experience. So I know that that's always nice, and It's great to hear that.
That is what we started this podcast to do. So,
long ago, yeah, every episode was a breakdown. Whereas now it's like the front end of the season is super front loaded with breakdowns, and then the tail end of the season it's like, God, I hope the TWAB has some good info in it.
We always find something interesting to talk about. That's the great thing about Destiny, is there's sort of no end of, like, either stuff to break down or stuff that maybe is controversial, where strong opinions can be held, even when they're wrong.
Or really, we can just fill episodes with listener questions.
That's
true.
I
mean, it's funny, man. I'm telling you,
some great questions.
We had this whole thing set up for the patrons to do listener questions in the very beginning. We thought it was a great idea, and nobody just ever used it. And now that we're not doing that anymore, it's like we get tons of questions every single week.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. One of these, it's probably not going to be anytime soon because the new season's about to release, but one of these weeks when it's a slow week, we'll just do an episode of listener questions, and we'll get 30 of them or something like that, and we'll just knock them out as opposed to doing, 5 at the end of the episode. But it's probably not going to be next week, because next week is first week of season of the Splicer, so.
I have a feeling it's not going to be next month, even. I think it's maybe going to be this summer, but hey, we'll get to it.
If the TWAB is any indication, Bungie has at least learned one lesson, which is that if you give us a ton of guns to chase, like, people will be content for a period of time, right? It's not going to last forever, but people will be content if you just give them a lot of weapons, right? And if the TWAB is any indication, there may be a lot of weapons coming with this new thing. I mean, just from pictures they're showing us in the TWAB, it looks like there's a lot. And they went out of their way to say, there's also more that we haven't shown you that are going to be coming too.
This is a significant expansion of the weapon sandbox. Like, this is more weapons than we got last season, just that we've been shown, and they're saying, oh, by the way, you'll find more when you play.
I haven't even talked about Vault of Blast rewards or anything like that, right?
Which that's true.
I'm sure there's going to be weapons in there.
I would imagine there will be, you know, one or two old favorites. Maybe a Gjallarhorn. Probably not.
Maybe a Vex Mythoclast. You would think that if they have to put a raid exotic in it.
If this is going to be the season of the Fused Rifle, I can't imagine a better time to bring the Mythoclast back. But somehow, I feel like the last thing they want is a broken Fusion Rifle. A lot of people don't remember. This was many, many moons ago, back when the world was young. There were no such thing as legendary engrams. They didn't exist.
Or when you did get them, they dropped into blues.
Yes,
you would get a legendary engram and you would decrypt it at Master Rahul, and that fucker would give you a blue.
Yeah, they were fake. They were like the cake. They were a lie. Vex Mythoclast was once like absolutely atrociously overpowered. Not even funny. It was like, it was the gun. You didn't use a different weapon.
But it was also like impossibly hard to get, right?
Well,
so you had to have people figure out how to cheese Atheon so that they could get it, because it was real difficult to get.
It was very hard to get a hold of.
Yeah.
But once you had it, you were a god.
Yeah, it was a chainsaw. It beat every single weapon in the Crucible, pretty much. It was disgustingly good.
It was pretty gross. Anyway, they would not bring it back in that form. So I don't know. I don't think we'll probably see it, but you never know. Bungie loves nothing if they more than a surprise. So,
well, you know, so how are you feeling overall? We've obviously got the trailer, Season of the Splicer. Nice little 2-minute trailer, very typical Bungie stuff, very cinematic, you know, some cool stuff with Mithrax. He's apparently coming back, the fallen Kell of Light. They showed us fallen babies, which are interesting, you know, those look pretty cool. But how are you feeling about the trailer
overall? I felt like it needed more baby Elixni. I think there was not enough, actually. It was missing something for sure for me. This is like, the music was great, the editing was great, but for some reason this trailer just didn't hype me the way that Bungie trailers usually do. I did feel like it was a little vague as far as what's going on, in terms of like actual like new gameplay mechanics. I didn't really see any significant changes to things that we do. It looked like a lot of running through cool backgrounds and blowing things up, which is familiar and fine. I like doing those things, but it didn't hype me, you know. How about you?
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling the same. You know, I'm very ready for a new season. I'm very ready for new stuff to chase, new stuff to do, you know, new rewards to drop. Like, I'm very, very ready for that. I was kind of hoping they were going to pleasantly surprise us with just anything for PvP at all. Like, anything. 4 weapons, okay, you know, that's one thing. But, like, a new map, you know, a new game mode. Like, I was kind of holding out hope that even though they hadn't talked about it, they were, you know, they're going to surprise us at the end. Doesn't seem like they're going to do that. I'm kind of like you, where I'm not really entirely sure what I'm looking at. Like, I'm not super hyped for Vault of Glass to return, simply because I've been there, done that, right? And, like, I know that it's a player classic, and I know that a bunch of people are going to get to enjoy it again, experience it for the first time. That's great. Like, I'm not super hyped for Vault of Glass to return. I'm never really hyped for the seasonal activities. Like, outside of, you know, a handful of them, most of them have kind of been like, okay, I'll play this 15 or 20 times, and I'm really not into it too much anymore. I'd be more hyped. I am glad it's 6 players and it's match made. I'd be more hyped if they hadn't kind of bungled the season of, what was the season that came with Shadowkeep? I don't even remember the.
I always forget the name. It's Vex Offensive is the the event you're talking about, though.
It was so just vanilla and plain and not really fun to play repeated times that, like, now I'm kind of concerned that it's going to be more like that and less like Sundial and Menagerie, both of which I actually really enjoy. So it's like I'm kind of sitting on the fence for the six player match made, where it's like it could be really fun and I play it a lot, or it could be really boring and I play it a handful of times, or however many times I'm forced to play it. The aesthetic looks cool.
Yeah.
Looks super neat. But like, I'm just, you know, there's rewards and I'm happy for that. And I know that there's going to be a ton of new perks because they already, you know, DMG has been going off on Twitter and talking about it in the TWAB. Like there's going to be a bunch of new perks. And honestly, like that's one of the things that I'm probably the most excited about, because I think that shakes up the sandbox a good bit in terms of what I'm chasing. There's going to be new guns. I'm really excited that the pinnacle for this season is a fusion rifle. Like I'm really happy with that. That's pretty awesome. Especially for me, I feel like fusion rifle players have been left out in the cold for like a very long time.
Yeah, that was kind of an interesting surprise. So we'll see. Null Composure is a good name.
100%, it's going to be a loaded question. Like I guarantee that's why they fixed Reservoir Burst. What I would love to see is if it has, and I think I'm blanking on who said this. Someone in our channel on Discord said, what if it has Reservoir Burst, Under Pressure, and High Impact Reserves, and it's a high impact fusion? I was like, oh my God. Like that would make me put down the Glacier class, and that would make me put down the Bastion. Like I would scoop that thing up in a heartbeat. And it's kinetic. Ooh boy.
Well,
it won't be kinetic. We know that, but
I was wondering if there was going to be some kind of interaction with Stasis, since you could reinterpret Null Composure to, of course, be No Chill. So I was kind of wondering if there was going to be some sort of Stasis-related angle there. I guess we'll see. They didn't show any clips that I saw.
I think it's probably going to be Void. I think we know the truth that every time they use Null for anything, it means Void, so.
Well, maybe it'll be a Void Rapid Fire, and it'll be the best Rapid Fire Fusion Rifle that the game has ever seen.
If it's a Void Rapid Fire, I will be immensely disappointed. I will be so, so sad. Basically, if it's anything other than a high impact, I'm going to be sad. I'm just, like, assuming, hopefully, that, like, they understand, like, hey, despite what you just did to buff them, like, the high impacts are still going to be the best. Like, please just make it a high impact. Like, don't shaft us here. I mean, if it's a precision and it's a really, really good precision, then I'll use it. But otherwise, like, if it's a rapid fire and an adaptive, I'm just going to be like, God, are you freaking kidding me? That would take my hype right down, like, day one. Or I guess whatever time the API goes live when I get to take a look at it, so.
Could be the horizontal burst.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm just torturing you right now.
Wow. I didn't even think about that awful archetype. That would really be mean. I mean, those are good for PvE, though. Those are nice and fun for PvE. Man, holy crap, that'd be terrible. Yeah, let's not do that. But, yeah, so, anyways, I guess the moral of the story is like, I'm happy, but I'm not, like, usually I'm, like, pretty gung-ho before a season.
Yeah.
I'm, like, ready. I'm, like, on the hype train. Maybe Fallen just aren't really doing it for me. I'm, like, not on the hype train. I'm just like, okay, good. Well, it's about time we got some new stuff, but I'm not, like, stoked for what this season is bringing in, which is kind of a bummer.
Well, see, I think the big problem is, like, the with the cover image, Mithrax should have been holding a baby Fallen up, like Simba.
Yeah, and then just throws it straight off the rock. Like that, you've seen the GIF, I use it on Twitter all the time. It's like, he holds baby Simba up, and he just tosses it right off the rock. And at the bottom it says, like, get the fuck out or something. That's what he should be doing. Right. I'm glad we're on the same page of what to do with the baby Fallen.
Mithrax is hardcore. All right, well, so we've got a lot of different guns that look very pretty. I like the aesthetic of the new weapons.
A little Tron-ish, a little,
yeah,
a little kind of weird, that like Vex style where it's like organic technology, you know. I kind of like it. I kind of like it too. Also, they're bringing in a stasis sidearm, which they showed us in the trailer. He gets two kills on Vex, and then he reloads it, and it looks like it charges up for a little bit, and then it shoots like a freezing bolt, and it instantly freezes the target. Now, they wisely didn't show us how it works in PvP, but, I mean, how are you imagining that works? I'm kind of seeing that there's two ways. I'm kind of seeing it either triggers on a kill, or maybe it's like Terraba, where it's as you deal damage, it builds up a charge, and then you can use the charge. But to me, it kind of reminded me of like a Devil's Ruin that's not a trace rifle, that's a, you know, a Devil's Ruin that you change and then you can freeze someone with it.
It definitely made me think of Devil's Ruin. Very much so. Boy, that would be a lot of power to put into PvP, though. To just you could just empty your mag and freeze someone with a charge like that. Like that would not be good. I think it has to be triggered off of a kill.
I think even triggering it off of a kill may be too much uptime for something that freezes someone.
It depends on how long the freeze lasts. You know, it could be those 1 second freezes. It could be harder to aim. You know, in trailers, right, the target always stands still or it's like a Vex and doesn't know how to dodge. They did not show us PvP. It could be difficult to aim. There's a lot of possible drawbacks that could work to make it less aggravating. The real question is, did the Crucible need more abilities that anyone can use to freeze you? And I think the answer is no. It did not need more abilities that anyone can use to instantly freeze you. So, I'm not thrilled. But I'm not going to get too worried about it until we actually know how it works.
I mean, if it's like Symmetry or Terraba, where it basically requires two kills to activate, then I think that will put it at a high enough level to where the majority of people won't be able to successfully use it to freeze you a majority of the time.
Yeah.
Right. If it only requires one kill to activate, I think it's going to be very, very frustrating to deal with. So we'll, like you said, we'll have to see, but oh man, you know, I play Stasis. I enjoy some of the changes that Stasis has brought to the Crucible, but it's been a long time of dealing with Stasis. Like, it has been a long time. And regardless of whether I enjoy it or not, I think it's really, really obvious that the vast majority of the population does not seem to be enjoying it as much. Or at least the very vocal portion of the population is not seem to be enjoying it. But the population numbers would also seem to indicate that there's maybe less enjoyment of PvP in general. And it could be because of Stasis. It could be because of staleness of the playlist. It could be because they took away 20 maps from the game and didn't give us any more. Like, there's a million things that it could be. But man, I just, you know, to a horrible pun here, but talk about walking on thin ice and then putting a gun into
wow.
the game. A primary gun into the game that can potentially freeze people. And it's like Bungie is standing on top of the ice and just like slamming a hammer into it and like asking, you know, what's the worst that could happen? So we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Wow. All right. Well, I think I've got at least one more free dad joke out of that. So, yeah, it's questionable. It definitely feels questionable. I think it's one of those weapons that really kind of needs to suck in PvP because it's probably going to be pretty fine in PvE, regardless of what you do to it for the Crucible. So as long as it's tuned where between the two, it's, you know, not good in PvP, I think we'll be fine. That's more or less it. It just can't be strong.
Yeah. And then so we've talked about, so all those weapons, the cool looking weapons, we're starting at the top of the 12, obviously. The cool looking weapons, two of them are from the season pass. Looks like the shotgun and the machine gun. And then there's also another sidearm, looks like an SMG, a pulse rifle. Not sure what that last one is. Maybe like a scout rifle or something. I can't really tell what that last one is.
There's a lot of doodads on it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Like, part of me thinks it looks like it has like a fat barrel. Could it be a grenade launcher? I don't think it's a grenade launcher.
It's not quite big enough to be a grenade launcher.
No, it's definitely not. I don't know what it is. A scout rifle.
The scope makes me think it's a scout. That's a longer scope. Which is more typical of a scout design. But there's so much stuff on it that I'm a little thrown.
Yeah, well, you know, whatever. There's some more weapons in the season pass that have the cool-looking aesthetic. Then, obviously, we talked about Null Composure, which is a fusion rifle. That's the, you know, the legendary quest that you get. Then, on top of that, they said they're putting four more weapons apiece into Gambit, Crucible, and Vanguard. So 12 legendary weapons total. These are all for the post-game rewards. They gave us a couple of examples. There's a new breach action grenade launcher, which literally nobody asked for, but they're doing it anyways. There's a hand cannon, which looks like the Duke, which is a 120, but DMG said on Twitter it is not a 120. It is a different rate of fire. Thank God. Nobody wants any more 120s. Then there's an SMG, which I actually feel like the SMG right now, I think a lot of people are going for multi-mocks and extraordinary renditions. I think SMGs, whatever change that it was that they made to them, which was that reduction of recoil a little bit, I actually feel like it's had an effect on controller. I see a heck of a lot more SMGs now than I ever did before. And in fact, an SMG is my primary weapon in PvE right now. So they went from literally being unusable to, I feel like they're actually one of the more popular primary options on controller, which is great.
Yeah, they definitely feel much easier to use now, which is nice. I'm really glad that hand cannon's not a 120. I had not seen that tweet, so I was a little concerned. I have a lot of Dukes in my vault that I really just need to delete at this point, but, you know, I haven't gotten around to it. So I was a little worried when I saw it, and I agree. I don't know why we need another grenade launcher. Nobody's happy about that. I actually really like the breach grenade launchers in PvE. Being forced to play with them by various quests sort of made me get good at using them. And suddenly I was like, man, these are really handy. Like, there's a lot of situations where just lobbing a grenade at a major is much easier than using anything else. And I can do it while I'm bunny hopping. So, you know, I'm a big fan of using those for running strikes.
What makes them fun in PvE is what makes them really shitty to play against in PvP.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. So, I don't know. I have mixed feelings, basically, about what I'm seeing there. That's about all I can say about it.
But they are bringing back a couple of D1 weapons, which is pretty nice. Some at least one very popular one. They're bringing back the Hung Jerry, which, as you guys recall, was the precision archetype, or the 180 RPM scout rifle from Dead Orbit. Fantastic, fantastic paint scheme. It's nice to see a faction gun coming back. I know, in my heart of hearts, I know that it's just the paint scheme and that they're not going to do anything with factions, which makes me very unhappy. But
the real question, though, is will it have triple tap hand laid stock Firefly?
Stock? We don't even have stock options on legendary weapons anymore. Stocks are only on exotics. Look, they completely removed that option for us. But
stocks triple tap can only and Firefly, go up. Okay, that's yeah. That much I know.
You use your dad joke allowance so quickly after that. We didn't even get another 5 minutes into the podcast.
I can't help myself.
That was terrible.
Point is that they're going to add in hand laid stock just for this gun, because that's the god roll. That's it's so good. It's insanely good.
It certainly was probably one of the most used PVE primaries, at least for legendaries in D1. They're also bringing back an Omlon sniper rifle. Haven't seen an Omlon sniper rifle in D2. I feel like since like year one. I believe this is the Arian RR4 or something like that. I actually used it for a period of time when it had a final round. And you could get final round and luck in the chamber, and sometimes they would activate at the same time, and you could just do crazy amounts of damage. But I would use this because if either one of those two procced, you could body shot someone for a short period of time in D1, and then they realized how stupidly broken that was, and they made final round only activate on precision hits. But it was very fun to have a gun that just randomly had a chance of killing someone with a body shot.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, in D1, that was about the only time that I could effectively snipe in PvP. And I was still losing those battles. Because the people who could snipe were still better than me. I'm excited to see the Foundries getting some better representation. I'd kind of missed seeing Foundry representation in our weapon pools. I felt like it's dropped off.
The whole weapon pool is a missed opportunity, and I've argued this point before, but the fact that they just randomly throw stuff in to these loot pools with seemingly no rhyme or reason behind what goes where is one of the most frustrating aspects to me, because if we had foundries and foundry vendors, and like you had Banshee who gave you stuff, and then I mean, it's, to me, it's such a tremendous missed opportunity to not play into the ideology that these foundries have, because we have some really, really cool foundries, right? Obviously Omalon, Tex Mechanica are probably the two most well-known ones. But you know, Hake is up there. We have Nadir is one that we almost never see, but actually I believe the fusion rifle that has that symbol on it, that's like all the dots grouped into a thing. I think that's actually Nadir's. It's like a standard city foundry, right? It was like main ingredient was one of those fusions. They're the only people who make fusion rifles besides Omalon or something like that. I mean, there's just a ton of really, really cool mythos out there. And in addition, like, there's a huge, huge plethora of weapons from those foundries that have kind of been left behind that I'd love to see brought back.
Yeah. I feel like it's just like the whole way the loot pool is organized sometimes makes me a little sad that I felt like they started out with these great ideas, and then they just decided it was too much work or something. Maybe it was. Maybe it was too much work. I don't know. But it felt like just such a natural way to organize them. You know, we could have had unique perks that certain foundries had, or unique stat profiles to each foundry, which we actually did have at first. There's a reason that Suros auto rifles were better. They had better stats. So
yeah, I'm actually looking up all the weapon foundries right now. So obviously Black Armory, Cassoid, we had Crux Lomar, which made Truth, Dido, Hake, Mida, Nadir, Omalon, Suros, Tex Mechanica, Vice. Are the foundries that are in there. So Vice, obviously, I don't know how I can forget about them. I mean, there's some really, really cool, and like, they each have their own style. I mean, the stuff is just so good. But again, the biggest thing to me is like, we don't have a loot pool that's organized, right? Like, you just get a random selection of weapons, and it completely and entirely removes this like cool incentive of like, oh, where'd you get that sick looking gun? I don't know, I just randomly dropped from something, right? Like, we had factions that could grant weapons. We had worlds that could grant weapons. We had activities that could grant weapons. And now it's just like, everything's just this horrible hodgepodge.
Yeah, I really feel like, so, and this is totally, totally unrelated game, right? But years and years and years ago, I played a ton of this MMORPG called Guild Wars, where you had basically different abilities, and you'd have like 8 hotkeyed abilities that you could use at any time, but you'd actually like have learned like potentially hundreds of them. But in order to unlock the more powerful ones, you had to go like track down the monsters that had them, and you would learn them from them by defeating them. And so there were like very hard to get to places that you could go, and like specific things you had to do in order to get various abilities. It was this whole like chase loop that you had, where you'd have to go, say, if you wanted this ability, you'd have to find your way to this town, and there the skill trainer there could sell it to you, or you had to go to this remote area and defeat some monster, and then you could get it. And I feel like Destiny had an opportunity to do something like that, right? We could have had the city foundries, whereas these are the guns that are available in the city. You know, maybe, you know, each foundry kind of has its own specialty. And then we can, you know, kind of scrounge weapons in the wild. We get maybe some Fallen-style weapons from Earth, you know, Vex-style weapons from Mercury, when Mercury was a place. But, you know, you get the idea. We kind of pick up different styles of weapons maybe out in the world. We get our, you know, Crucible-style weapons. Maybe there are some specific foundries that do PvP-focused weapons. And we get Suros and Tex Mechanica competing to put the guns in the hands of the most skilled Guardians. There was a lot of opportunity there to really differentiate the loot based on where you got it from. And it didn't necessarily have to mean that, like, You know, you could find there could be weapons that you got from Earth that were still really good in PvP. It didn't mean that the PvP guns had to always be the best guns for PvP. It's just like that's where you got them from. You know, and the guns you got from the raid don't have to be the best raid guns. That's where you got them from, and you'd know when you looked at them, you'd know where you got them from. But now we look at stuff we don't know where we got it from, except for the raid guns.
They took the idea that Eververse had, which Eververse has caused a lot of problems, but this is one of the big ones, is they started taking really cool gameplay-themed items and putting them in Eververse, right? And so what ended up happening is you would see like a really cool ship or a really cool ghost or a really cool sparrow or an emote or something. You'd be like, oh, that looks really cool. Where did you get that? And the answer was Eververse, right? That was the first blow that started like chipping away at this, oh, that's really cool. Where'd you get that type thing? Where it's like these things are recognizable as weapons of Mars. These things are recognizable as weapons of, you know, Osiris and Mercury. These things are recognizable as weapons that you got from Banshee, right? And it started taking that stuff away because now you would look at stuff and it wasn't weapons or yet, but you would look at stuff and you'd be like, that looks really cool. He could have gotten it from either here or Eververse. And then unfortunately, they ended up doing away with that in Eververse to where now, if it's like they don't do gameplay themed stuff in Eververse anymore, right? Like now, Eververse stuff is like Indiana Jones themed or like Transformers themed or like random one off things that have nothing to do with the game, which is fine and that's good. That's what should be in Eververse. But the problem is now the weapons are kind of a similar way where they were like, hey, let's take some weapons from the War Mine and put them in the World Loot Pool. Let's take some weapons from Titan and put them in the World Loot Pool. Let's take some weapons from here and here and here and here and here. And to the point where there's like no focused grind for a type of weapon anymore. And it just like, you know, I am the type of person who that means a lot to me. Like me grinding for something that not a lot of other people have, and then being able to show it off and having people like having a story behind that thing of like, I grinded out the entire Warmind weapon set, or I grinded out the entire Mercury weapon set. Where'd you get all those guns from? I got those guns from Mercury. You gotta go to Mercury. You gotta do this thing. There's nothing like that in the game anymore, with the exception of the Iron Banner sets and the raid sets and like the season pass sets, right? But the World Loot Pool is the most disappointing thing. So, and you know, when was the last time, like, do I guess Europa has weapons that are unique to it still, right? But that's the only location that has weapons that are unique to it.
Yeah, it's a bit of a bummer to me. You know, even in PvP, you know, as long as the maps are running on a cycle, they could have, you know, this would have been probably too much work, but we could have gotten, you know, depending on what map you're playing on, you get drops from that world. There's a lot of different ways they could have done it to at least organize it so you have some sense of. All right, when I'm doing this, these are the guns that I have an opportunity to get. And I know that they don't want to discourage people from doing an activity because they don't like the rewards. But unfortunately, I think they went too far in the other direction to where there's a lot of the game that I'm no longer encouraged to play because there are no unique rewards for playing it.
The how'd you get it story loop is a really, really strong motivator for a lot of people to play. And we've basically completely lost that for I want to say a majority of the game, at least for the world drops and stuff like that. Like I'm trying to remember how in Destiny 1, when you got a legendary Engram to drop, there was a specific loot pool that was in the legendary Engrams, right? But I feel like I didn't get the majority of my stuff through legendary engrams. I feel like I got the majority of the stuff in Destiny 1. I feel like legendary engrams were a minority of the way I got things. I feel like I got the majority of my stuff through post-activity rewards for Strikes and Crucible, or from vendors, or from grinding like locations or the gunsmith, right? Like I felt like it was more targeted because I was going to activities with a guaranteed loot pool in them. Or I was going to a vendor with a guaranteed loot pool. And so the stuff that I got from the world, like I actually don't remember getting a ton of stuff from the world. But in Destiny 2, it's the other way around because the vendors are so limited and because the grindable loot pools are so limited. Although they're building them up, right? Like that's the whole point of them putting another 12 weapons in there. But again, those 12 weapons aren't necessarily themed for the activity that you're like doing them in, right? But yeah, regardless, it's better than Loophole. But the world Loophole is like, God, how many Ingrams do I get every single session I play, right?
Yeah.
So many Ingrams. And there's just like nothing that I care about in that Loophole because it's just a random selection of weapons. Although now I might care about the 7th Seraph Carbine because 450's got a buff, but...
Yeah, I'm really hoping that I kept my 7th Seraph Carbine. I'm a little worried that I did not keep one at Light, and I'm a little upset about that.
I already know I didn't. I was not a believer in that those things were gonna ever be made decent again, so I was not a believer. So I do not have a 7th Seraph Carbine. I think I have a single Shadow Price in my vault. And I think that's the only 450 that I have that's at Light right now.
I did keep one, and it's... Oh, wait. 1310. I'm okay. Oh,
my Shadow Price is garbage, too. It's 4th times the charm. Well, it has Swashbuckler, so that's not the worst thing, but it's 4th times the charm, so... Oh, boy.
Yeah, mine's, high caliber, underdog, Swashbuckler. I'm okay with it.
The good thing is we're not going to have to be grinding out anything that's going to go away anymore because they did away with sunsetting, right? So there it's like go. As long as it isn't sunset, we're good to go.
Yep.
So anyways, I guess we can probably move on from the reward stuff. They do have some patch stuff, which kind of just slipping it in here at the end. But they're actually doing a little bit of tuning. So a bunch of stuff gets colorblind support now, which I'm actually really interested to see. They said player highlighting in the Crucible now has colorblind support. So it used to highlight them red. I'm assuming it probably now highlights them, you know, yellow or some other color.
Yeah.
You know, there are some players out there who play with colorblind support on, even though they're not colorblind, because it changes the colors of the radar. And I'm actually almost considering starting to do that because we have so many red maps in the Crucible now. Like, I find that the radar, like, blends into the red maps. Like, Distant Shore is a really bad example of it happening. But if the highlight were to highlight players in, like, yellow or something, like, I might have to do that. But that might actually be pretty helpful.
There was a while where I think it was a season where I was basically just playing PvP. I don't even remember when it was. It was a few years ago where I did leave colorblind. One of the colorblind modes, I tried them all, and I left one on for a lot of the season because it made it very, like, just much easier to spot people when they were moving, just because of the way it changed the colors, and much easier to read the radar. So having those options out there obviously is fantastic for people who are actually colorblind. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, they can now play the game without being held back by clashing colors. But for the rest of us, it also, you know, provides some options. If the current color scheme is not working well for you, they've got several colorblind options. So that's pretty cool. I'm glad they added that to Stasis, and I'm glad that they added it to the player highlighting in the Crucible, because that will come in at pretty handy as well. They also did some subtle class tuning. I got to call them out on the typo. It says subtle class.
I wasn't sure if that was like you were trying to do a dad joke because it was like subtle class tuning. No, there actually is a typo and there you go.
Subtle class. I'm sure he's been like DMG's been told 150,000 times by now. So I will not tweet it at him, but I'm gonna say it here. Everyone else, go tweet it at him. He probably hasn't been told. So the freeze detonation from Silence and Squall has been reduced from 12 meters to 8.5 meters in radius. That is radius, so that's actually a pretty significant reduction.
That's a huge, huge... I mean, the radius was pretty ridiculous anyways, but that is a huge nerf for Silence and Soul.
Yeah, it's very large. Now, that is just the freeze detonation, so it does not affect the squall.
Yeah, but that was the lethal part of, like... The thing is that you could throw it and freeze people in this ridiculous, ridiculously sized dome. And now, I mean, that's a pretty big nerf. Like, as a Revenant Hunter, that's going to dramatically affect my super usage.
It will, yes. Definitely going to have to be much more accurate and perhaps a little more conscious of how it gets used and where it gets used. For me, I tended to use the squall more as a herding mechanism. I was always happy to pick up a few kills directly with it, but if I could guarantee that people were running in a certain direction, then I knew where to shoot. So that was the way that I felt like it was most useful. So I'm a little annoyed that the enemy squall will now have a red ring to define the area as it approaches. I thought it was already really obvious when a squall was an enemy squall. So it's kind of frustrating to me that they felt the need to make it like inescapably obvious, because it's actually not that hard to get away from. Like, honestly,
a brisk walk will take you out of the
Yeah, if you're not already inside it, like if you're inside it, yeah, you're pretty much screwed. But if you're not already inside it and you get caught by it, I don't know, like, it's a learning moment, right? Like, it's, oh, I should probably look up when I hear that sound, figure out where it is, and go the other way. Yeah, so that's a bummer, I think. The freeze detonation, I mean, I know people are kind of tired of hunters throwing silence and squall at them, and maybe this won't feel terrible in play, so I'm willing to take my medicine from playing too much Revenant on that front. I just think the red ring is too much. But we'll move on. Titans. Shiverstrike melee energy is now refunded when Glacial Quake ends.
Bull crap. Why did they need to do anything to Titans to make them better at all? In fact, if you had full melee energy when Glacial Quake ended, it should have taken it away. That's what it should have done. This is the opposite of what I like to see.
Well, that's a thing now. They also fixed an issue in which players can trigger Whisper of Torment by standing in an opponent's barricade. So that's interesting. I had heard about that. I had not attempted to take advantage of it, because standing in barricades usually doesn't go well for me. But I'm sure somebody made it work if they fixed it. Warlocks. Shadebinder, the Bleak Watcher aspect, now grants 2 fragment slots. I'm actually not sure how many fragment slots it granted before. Is this a buff or a nerf?
I think it's a buff. I think that they would have... I think they would have phrased it differently if it was a nerf. I think. I don't know. Someone who plays Warlock, tell us. I don't know. I honestly... Warlock is my least played. I play a shit ton of Hunter and like a fair amount of Titan, and like the only time I'm ever playing Warlock is when I'm doing Empowering Rift, Ariana's Vow one taps. Like, that's the only thing I do with Warlock, so I know nothing about Shadebinder from having actually played it. I know a lot about Shadebinder from having been hunted around corners by those goddamn tracking projectiles from the Super now, because those things freaking track. I had it happen twice. I had someone shoot and I was fully behind a corner and the tracking thing came around the corner and turned 90 degrees and hit me and killed me. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe it. So regardless. And then they also fixed Chaos Reach. They said that there was an issue with Chaos Reach that would allow it to penetrate thin walls or objects enough to damage and kill opponents. I know a lot of people have been a victim of something that feels like this. I don't know if it's the same thing. It seems that there's an AoE that happens around the edges of the Chaos Reach beam, and you can be like behind a wall, and if they're shooting next to it, it will still kill you, which is really frustrating. I'm not sure if that's the same thing. This makes it seem like you could be literally behind the wall and they could shoot into the wall and kill you through it, which would be hilarious, but I actually never saw that.
Yeah, I had not seen that either, but I'm glad that it got fixed, this Chaos Reach issue. They also mention that they are working on a veritable slew of tuning updates over the next few seasons. They say they are aware of key points of feedback in PvE and PvP. So in addition to what we've already talked about, they are currently looking at stasis freeze, accuracy penalties in slow, and the Whisper of Hedrons. So more information on that to come. That sounds like a pretty good place for them to be looking for the moment, in terms of tuning, especially for PvP. That's my take on that anyway. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, it's good that TOCOM came out and said this, basically. I mean, Stasis Freeze is probably the biggest thing affecting PvP right now, sandbox-wise. Like, for once, people complaining about weapons is taking a backseat to people complaining about something else. And in this case, it's Freeze. You know, I think we said a long time ago, when Stasis was first being talked about, like, if there is freezing linked to abilities, it's probably going to be a problem. Like, the only time you should be frozen solid in PvP is, you know, I think the way the supers do it is fine. I don't like the Warlock melee. I don't like any grenades other than the Glacier grenade freezing you, because the Glacier grenade one kind of makes sense because you're like literally stuck inside an ice crystal if you get frozen by it, because of how much, you know, kind of accuracy it requires. But like,
yeah,
I'm not a big fan. And the slow would be a lot more bearable if it didn't make you inaccurate while you were slowed. Like, it's frustrating, but the fact that it makes you inaccurate is over the top unnecessary. So if they can address those two things, where abilities will only slow you, and you know, if you have to do what the hunters have to do, where you have to stack three of them to freeze someone, it's like, okay, well, you know, that is what it is, right? But I don't think any ability should freeze you just by default outside of supers. And I don't think slow should affect your accuracy. If they can fix those two things, I think that will be a huge quality of life improvement for PvP. Now, will that be enough if they continue to basically just pretend like PvP doesn't exist for another two seasons? Like, probably not. Like, they're getting very close to the point where if they don't have a season of PvP, a season of the Crucible, like, they're going to be like verging on open revolt from the PvP community. But this could do a lot to like stave that process off if they just address some of the really frustrating things about Stasis, which it sounds like they're going to, hopefully sooner rather than later.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to them coming out with some more information on that front. Okay, what else do we have? We have some nice quality of life updates, as ever, making things more accessible, easier to use. So in nav mode, bounties and quests now have their own viewable pages, which I think is fantastic, because being able to track only three total things was like not enough things for me.
And you can track, it shows all the bounties.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if it's going to like put six on a page and then you move side to side with the D-pad. I think that might be it.
I think that's what they're doing from the look of it.
It looks really good. Like, that's really, really great. I like that a lot. That's going to be huge, because you're right, that's a great quality of life update.
Yep. Very excited about that. It says Tracked Triumph now appears in its own nav mode category. What else do we have?
Actually, kind of like a lot.
Yeah. Really.
Like,
there's a lot of changes here.
I mean, we should just go ahead and read through them because we got the time, and some of this stuff's pretty cool. So there's a new director destination tab called Legends. This is where you'll find the Vault of Glass, right? Because they're not adding back Venus as a location, which is sad to me because I loved Venus. Venus is one of my favorite locations in D1, but they're adding it a Legends tab, which I assume that they're going to continue to add to, like, activities from D1 or stuff they're bringing out of the vault, not just Vault of Glass. They're adding a shortcut between the HUD quest step notification, the quest detail screen for keyboard and mouse users. This one I'm actually really interested to see. 6v6 Crucible activities have an update intro experience. You can cycle through your teammates to view metrics associated with the activity you're entering. So I'm assuming that this replaces the little... What do you think that this replaces? That little short, like, viewing experience where all of your teammates are lined up in a line holding the flag? Do you think it replaces that? Do you think it replaces the loading screen with the ship?
So I'm guessing that it replaces some of the fly-in and the team. Well, you know what? Actually, I bet it's mostly the fly-in. They might still do a little bit of a fly-in, but honestly, the fly-in was always kind of a wasted area of the experience. It just let you know that you were loading, right? And so if instead you can do something that might be interesting or engaging, that's probably better. And this sounds like it's probably better.
I wonder what the metrics are they're going to show. I mean, I mean, what could they be? That could be pretty neat, right? If you can see like KD, if you can see captures a game, like, you know, even if you could just see their subclasses and stuff like that, I mean, that this win, actually could be pretty neat.
Win percentage, favorite weapons.
So you know you're going to be backpacking people before the game even starts. Yeah. You're just like, oh, this is great.
So you know if you need to back out immediately. I think that would be very helpful. So I think we'll see a lot of quitting in the first 5 seconds of matches after this. No, I think it'll be good. We've got an update to Helm. Helm now appears in the Director of Destinations tab. It's been moved from the tower map and has its own map. Ooh.
Which is nice. You know, that means that they're going to... And they did say they're going to be adding stuff to it, right? Like, up on the... What was it? Up on the roadmap, they pointed out that the Helm gets a new space. It's called... Well, they just say expanded Helm space. But, I mean, I hope that they make this... You know, they took away the farm's gone, right? And the farm entirely gone.
Yeah. Yep. Raids burned down. Somebody was smoking.
Something horrible just happened, and it was Mithrax. Mithrax is lighting up a J in the basement and just burned down the whole barn.
He got the babies out, though. Don't worry.
Or were the babies the first thing he ignited? We just don't know. Regardless, that's nice. So, focused on Burlingame's and the Prismatic Recaster when on Burlingame's will now auto-decrypt.
Poor fallen babies.
Yeah, well, most people love them. The visual states for focusing options on the Prismatic Recaster have been streamlined. Good, because they were really super cluttered and awful. They said they're making some changes to Glory, Valor, and Infamy to kind of unify them all. So they're streamlining the... Or not streamlining, they are using... They're now calling every rank a rank, whereas before, only the major ranks were called ranks and everything else was called sub-ranks, but then anything that... Any quest or anything that referred to a rank only counted the major ranks. Now quests that refer to ranks will count all ranks, but they have multiplied the amount of ranks that you need by 3-2. So it's like, yeah, whatever. Glory playlists no longer block Valor win streaks from declining. The Valor badge now appears in the Trials launch screen. Infamy win streaks bonus is now linear, plus 35 points per win. Glory is linear, plus 20 points per win. And it says, with the eventual update to Vanguard reputation, players should be ready to spend their Vanguard tokens during this season. So basically they're saying that by the next season, they're going to do away with Vanguard tokens the way they did with Crucible tokens, and you should spend all of them now.
Yep.
Honest to God, I have barely noticed the changes to the Crucible stuff. Like, it's still just really, really pointless. I feel like just really ridiculously pointless. And now it's almost more frustrating because I have to go back to the tower to get this crap. And it, like, you know, it's, I don't know.
It's almost like they should just, like, have a selection of Crucible-themed weapons with random rolls that change every week. That's crazy. I shouldn't be...
What game would ever do something like that? Give their vendors weapons. Or give us a grindable path where it's like, look, man, if you reset your Valor 7 times in a season, you get a sweet ghost or something like that. Like, I would grind for that type of stuff. Like, I still, what was it, like, season 2, where if you did a Crucible quest, you got a ghost? Like, I still use that one ghost, because I'm like, nobody's ever going to get this ghost again. Like, probably only, like, 10% of the population has this ghost. So.
It's true. I use a beach ball ghost from Eververse, so that's the kind of person I am.
Speaking of Eververse, they got easy filters in the storefront archive tab for you now. And they have added exotic weapon and armor ornaments from previous seasons to the archive tab, which has always blown my mind. Like, why are you not literally selling everything that you've ever made for Eververse? Like, why are you, when something in Eververse is there for just silver, why are you ever removing it from Eververse? Like, why not just sell it infinitely? Because if someone comes into the game late, wouldn't you much rather them have more things to buy than less? Like, I've never understood why they were pulling things that were silver only out of Eververse. Bright Dust, I understand. But what's the point of removing silver stuff?
Well, so I think it's a combination of applying a little bit of FOMO. I think a little bit of FOMO can be okay. And also trying to reduce analysis paralysis, which is actually a huge concern for any kind of retail store, and Eververse is no different. You know, it's like if you hadn't eaten cereal in 15 years and you walk down the cereal aisle and you're just like, oh my god, there are 500 types of cereal, and then you just don't buy anything because you're just like, I don't care anymore. I don't want cereal anymore. Or you just buy the cheapest bag of Cheerios you can find because it's like, this is too hard.
You know, I'm the type of person who I don't think analysis paralysis really applies to, so maybe that's why I don't feel that same way about it. But at the same time,
there are special cases. I get excited when I have too many options.
If you make your storefront, exactly, we make spreadsheets. You should have seen. So I have I want to say 9 credit cards, and I'm about to get my 10th. I carry a balance on only a single credit card out of those 9 ever, right? But I have a credit card for gas. I have a credit card for groceries. I have a credit card for going out to eat. I have a credit card for everyday purchases. I have a credit card for airlines, a credit card for hotels, a credit card for Airbnbs. I'm about to get another everyday credit card because I had a credit card that was linked to my brokerage account. So if I spent money on it, my points that I got were deposited directly into my brokerage account so that I could invest with them. So I was like investing with free money. So I had a shit ton of credit cards. I have a spreadsheet that compared all the credit cards, how much money I would get for every $1,000 spent, like what categories they were strongest in. And I used that and I narrowed the list down from like 40 something possible credit cards to like a target selection of, you know, 8 or 9 that I wanted to get. And I like, that's how I do everything. Like I make spreadsheets for fucking everything.
Yeah.
And so for Eververse ornaments, I'm like, give me all of them, right? Like give me all of them. I'm not going to buy them because fuck Eververse. But you know, if I were to buy them, I wouldn't be bothered, especially if you make the storefront attractive enough to where it's easy to filter through and like it's easy to find what you're looking for. Things are grouped really well into like these little subgroups, right? Like, you know, you group armor ornaments here, weapon ornaments here. Like you kind of make it easy to not overwhelm a person, easy for them to find exactly what they're looking for or the category that they're looking for. But I don't know that Eververse does that really well right now. Like the pages are kind of...
So for me, to be honest, the organization systems in Destiny that use seasons to organize things are really frustrating because they're worthless. Because if I don't remember what season it was, and we've had enough of them that I don't remember what season various ghosts and sparrows and things came from, then I can't find them.
Talk so about analysis paralysis. How many fucking ghost shells do we have that are the exact same ghost shell with one slightly different like decal on the same shape? Like those ghost shells all need to be collapsed down into ornaments for a ghost. Like that's just the way it needs to be. Like collapse the ghost shells down into exotics, which are their own thing. And then we really only have what, like 5 or 6 styles of legendary ghost.
I only use exotic ghosts and sparrows.
That's true. Why would you ever use anything that's not?
I'll use a legendary ship when it's the seasonal one, if it's a good seasonal ship.
I am still using Estival Excursion, which is the one from Solstice of Heroes 2 years ago. No, 3 years ago now. It's like 2018 Solstice of Heroes. I still use Estival Excursion because it was such a freaking bitch to grind for. I feel like it's probably one of the rare ships that's out there. Like, I wish that there was something. That's what I really wish. If in the collections tab you could see what percent of players had something, because like I'm big into like I want to use the rarest thing. Like I want to use the rarest ornament. I want to use the rarest emblem. I want to use the rarest ghost. I want to use the rarest ship or something that's like at least rare if it's not the rarest. Like if I could see what percent of players own something in the game. Like that, you want to talk about motivating me to like get emblems and stuff. It's like, if I look at something, it's like, oh, only 0.5% of players in the game own that emblem. I'm like, what do I need to do to get that emblem? But at the same time, the collections also needs to do a better job of telling you how to get stuff. Cause right now it'll be like acquired from world. And you're like, oh great. So I literally have no idea how to do this. Let me go to Google.
Yeah, pretty much. And I tend to keep my, my guardian out based on themes. So for like the last year and a half, I've been on like a beach life theme. So I, you know, I have the beach ball with like the bucket of sand and the little shovel glowing above it, and I've got this this sparrow that looks like a little like speedboat, like a wooden like kind of like
wow
mini yacht. You know, and then I've got my my ship is the Mayfly, so it's you know, it's like a dragonfly.
Wow.
So I'm like total beach life. But then when Europa launched, I had to switch it up for a little bit. You know, I had my sleigh, I had my snowball ghost.
You can't be dressed like you're going to the beach when you go to Europa. I mean, that's just not done. Your guardian will be cold. Like,
I got there and I pulled out my beach ball and I was like, well, this is just a mistake. I did not plan
it. You know what I always think would be funny is like whenever you find dead ghosts and it's like you find a dead beach ball ghost or like the dead snowball ghost or something instead of just like the
that would be amazing. Yeah, they're always playing. They should clearly be exotics. Yeah, so I like themes, and if they would organize things on themes or like keyword them and then like let me actually like type in letters and search by keywords, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're way off topic, per usual.
And we're over an hour, so. Bright Engram, Spawn FX, and Shaders are now standalone items, and Bright Engrams, they will no longer decrypt into duplicates of these items, which is great. That's fantastic, because I feel like that's what 90% of my Bright Engrams are, is just duplicates. Like, I don't remember the last time I was excited for anything that I got in a Bright Engram at all. Like,
I mostly just get Spawn and effects, which I don't care about.
Does anyone buy those? Like, does anyone buy Spawn and effects with... Like, honestly, what I feel like the only things people buy from Eververse, and I could be wrong here, I feel like the only things people buy from Eververse are armor ornaments, weapon ornaments, emotes, and probably now finishers. Right? Like, have you ever heard of anyone buying a spawn in FX or a shader? Or a ghost projection? Or even a ghost shell that's not an exotic one? Like, does anyone buy legendary ghost shells from Eververse?
I can't imagine that very many people do. Although I always see people with some pretty flashy spawn-in effects running around the tower, you know, probably spawning in and out to show them off.
You don't know what spawn-in effect I use.
I've used the Veteran's Flare for a long time just because it's like...
The free one that you get for being a D1 player? Is that...
Yeah. Basically.
Well.
I feel like it's one of those like sneaky brags where it's
but
like,
does anybody
I've been
notice
around.
It? Like, I don't... I mean, I legitimately... Nope. I know I used the Osiris one for a while where it like duplicated you a bit. And I was like, it'll distract people in PvP. They won't shoot me when I'm spawning. But I don't even know which one I have on now.
Okay, well, to just wrap things up here, Momentum Control and Team Scorched have returned and will be available as part of the weekly playlist rotation. So that should be some good fun. They've added repeatable bounties to Shahan in the Cosmodrome. I need to spend more time there. They fixed an issue causing vaulted gear to erroneously drop from Strike Unique loot lists. This is not one that I had seen or heard about. Not even sure I understand properly what is happening there. Like stuff that people had in their vaults, they were getting drops of from strikes. That's... I mean, I would be upset too, I guess. That's a weird one. And they also added a full suite of trace rifle focused armor mods to the game, which I guess indicates we're going to have a lot of trace rifles in the future, because I thought it made a lot of sense to just wrap them into auto rifle mods in the meantime. But
I'm very happy for the trace rifle stuff.
Well, I guess they're leaning into it. We've got a new weapon type that that will be expanding, so that's something to look forward to. Full patch notes planned to drop on the launch Tuesday, as per usual, so that's something to look forward to. See if there are any surprises, though I don't think there's likely to be much that they haven't previewed. They've gotten pretty good at warning us in advance of anything major.
Cool. Well, then, I guess that's it, guys. So we'll see you next week.
All right. Peace.
Bye.